Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Nine Pitches as we hurtle down the road towards WrestleMania. The next stop, lads, is Elimination Chamber 2021. I am joined not only by Ross. How are you, Ross, very quickly?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
I'm not too bad, but I'm extra delighted today because we're also joined by Andrew, making his pitches debut. Andrew, are you excited?
I am very excited. I'm very nervous. I'm very nervous, but very excited. I mean, I say that all the time when I come on one of these. I'm nervous, but I am excited to be here with the boys today.
I'm starting to doubt that you are actually nervous. He said this on the podcast last week, Ross. He was like, I've just been so nervous, and then was fine.
I mean, these are super serious videos where the sort of sanctity of what we say has to be treated with the utmost respect. So your nervousness, Andrew, is very much warranted. I hope you are nervous.
I am. I hope I can keep up to the caliber that you guys always do in these videos.
In the words of RuPaul, Andrew, don't F this up.
RuPaul's such a dick. From episodes that I've watched, right, he's just so horrible to the contestants like all the time. They're trying their best. Anyway, right, pitches, yeah. I'd best get on with the format. Just before I do, I want to say that I reckon Andrew's kind of broken the typical cycle of wrestling YouTube. I've never seen a new presenter on an existing channel not get hate. Like, Andrew's had the least amount of negative comments I've seen from anyone ever, and I don't understand. I just don't understand.
You obviously weren't watching King Ross's Ascent in 2016.
That's very true. That is very true. I do apologise. Now, for the benefit of Andrew and for anyone who's watching this for the first time, the format is we all go around in a circle. We'll go Ross, Andrew, and then myself. And basically, we all submit a pitch for Elimination Chamber 2021. But Andrew, you've got to remember to follow that golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen. It's what we want to happen.
He's done his homework. I know it.
He's done his research. So, Ross, without any further ado, what is your first pitch?
This is something I just basically want to speak into existence, lads. Roman Reigns defeats whoever wins the Elimination Chamber match, which hopefully won't be Kevin Owens, but just simply going off last week's SmackDown and the SmackDown before that, it's going to be Kevin Owens once again, isn't it? We have to see Kevin Owens lose to Roman Reigns once again. I don't know how many more times I can take it, lads. But after that match, he cuts a promo saying, lads and lasses and everyone else backstage, I've dominated this universe, Paul. I've had enough of this universe. Roman Reigns is saying he wants off this universe. It's time for something new. It's time to dominate the world. Roman Reigns says, I don't care what Vince McMahon says, the WWE Universe, it's inside this world. You're talking nonsense, Vince, with your crap marketing and branding. The universe is inside this world, and it's time for me to take over this world. Paul says, okay, Roman, we can do that together, like friends. I'll go backstage now and get my mystery velveteen sack. Paul goes backstage and gets his sack. He comes back down to the ring. Roman grabs the sack, the velveteen sack, not Paul's sack, you dirty bastard. Andrew, I can see you thinking. And he pulls out the big gold world heavyweight title. Roman says, Edge, I'm sick of you messing me around, you old prick. Because you messing me around is disrespecting my family and all of my tables at home. So because I'm the head of the table, I'm making the decision for you. So come and get this, you little bitch. And he holds it above his head. It's the big gold world heavyweight title. Because as some of us may know, Edge didn't lose that title after WrestleMania 27. And in my mind, at least, and hopefully everyone else is here on the pitches video and in the comments down below, the Universal title is the spiritual successor to the world heavyweight title because the world heavyweight title isn't a thing anymore. So basically, yeah, that is it. Roman Reigns topples all once again at Elimination Chamber, but he forces the issue. He makes Edge challenge him because he brings back the title that Edge never lost and challenges him to a match at WrestleMania because, of course, WrestleMania Night 2 this year, it takes place on the 10th anniversary of Edge's retirement speech. So Wouldn't it be lovely if Edge won on that night?
Well, that's a beefy one to start off with. Mm. First of all, I love the idea of scrapping the Universal title, bringing back the World Heavyweight title, because it is just better.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say no, Ross, for one reason. Just one reason. No, it's all right. It's not all right. I'm still saying no. The reason is that I don't think it's cut and dry. I don't think that Kevin Owens is necessarily going to win the Elimination Chamber. And I've concocted, as we'll see very shortly, a little scenario that might play out a little bit more how I want it to. So for that reason only, I'm going to say no. But I'll give a yes to the element of bringing back the World Heavyweight Championship.
I also would agree with Jack there, because I don't think it's going to be Kevin Owens that's going to win. But Ross, you stay
barely
on your chair there.
A big bollocks on the pitches here.
You stay on your chair there, but a big fat yes to the World Heavyweight Championship coming back. Because like what Jack was saying as well, just it doesn't feel as legitimate, the Universal Championship, as the World Heavyweight Championship. But he brings that big old belt out of his sack there. And I am all down for seeing that and seeing Edge win that back as well. I think that would be a nice emotional touch to WrestleMania. I think that would be perfect. So it does, Ross, overall get a big fat yes from me. But just the winner is, I don't think that's going to be the winner.
The heart wants what the heart wants, lads. And if you want something else, I can accept that.
Okay. What we've done is that we've said the same thing, but I've given it a no and Andrew's given it a yes, which I think says a lot. This is a lot about our respective personalities.
I was going to say, surely he can't come in on his first pitches video, and the first pitch he listens to, he says no.
Well, I didn't say no.
Happen. That can't happen.
God damn it.
He's taking the role that Adam used to take back in the day, isn't he? Adam used to be the guy saying no, that's just a no.
But then when it was his go, Oh, no, that was more of a Sam thing, wasn't it? To, like, you say no and then he changes the whole thing. That wasn't Adam, that was more Sam. But yes, Andrew, what is your first ever pitch?
No pressure.
I feel like this is quite... I really genuinely do want this to happen. And I feel like it's what quite a lot of people want to happen as well. So, without an opponent for the Elimination Chamber and after getting herself prepared to defend the title after months of not really doing anything with it, big old Asuka walks out to the ring with a microphone in her hand. So she's sick of it. She's sick of it, guys. She's sick of playing second fiddle recently. She wants the belt to mean something again, right? She wants that belt to mean something. And she wants to prove she's still got what it takes to defend that championship belt. And she's ready to take on anybody. I'll have them all. I'll have you. I'll have you. She'll have anyone, right? She'll have anyone. So she issues an open challenge. And then whose music's that? This is my brutality. Oh, it's Big Rhea. Big Rhea is here. She's stuck in purgatory at the moment, isn't she? She's not really on any sort of brand. She's like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? But she's here tonight and she's ready to go after her impressive showing at the Royal Rumble. And she's like, hey, if I'd have won the Rumble, which I nearly did, mind you, Asuka, I would have picked you. And we go at it. We go into it. We get a Rhea versus Asuka women's title match on Elimination Chamber, and they're having a good fight. Rhea looks impressive. Asuka looks impressive again because she's like, she's not really been doing much of anything. She's been looking weak. Like, people have been making her look weak, and I don't think that's a good look for Asuka because she's not at all. She's amazing. However, we get towards the end of the match, and then woo! Who comes out? It's big old Charlotte. Hey, Ross, I see your mouth there. No, come on now. Big old Charlotte Flair comes out, right? And she's come to watch her friend. She's come to watch her friend Asuka, and a tag partner, and also her former enemy in Rhea Ripley there. And Rhea's like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? So that distracts Rhea long enough for Asuka to get in that Asuka lock and get the tap out victory. And I kind of want this to happen this way. Because I would like to see a triple threat match. I know I'm going far now, guys. I'd like That's to fine. See a triple threat match at WrestleMania, right? Between Asuka, Charlotte, and Rhea Ripley. And maybe within all this, Charlotte turns heel again because she's like, Asuka, you didn't let me have that match at Elimination Chamber that Lacey Evans had to give up because of the pregnancy. And that turns Charlotte heel. And then we get the triple threat match at WrestleMania, right? And we finally get the WrestleMania moment we want in that Rhea Ripley pins Charlotte to win the belt. So Rhea looks amazing. And Asuka still looks strong as well. Because she didn't get pinned or submitted. And that's what I'd like to happen. First pitch, there you go, slamming it on the table.
It's a yes from me, Andrew, because that's one of my pitches, basically. So oh. I've just given it a yes, because it's really similar to one of mine. So I'll just say yes. I'll leave it at that. I'll let Ross go now, because I need to sit quietly and think of a replacement pitch. Congratulations.
I'll waffle then. The great thing about the Lacey Evans pregnancy, apart from Lacey Evans obviously being pregnant, congratulations to her and her family at home, is the fact that the Raw Women's Championship now is interesting heading into WrestleMania, because I was terrified it was just going to lead to Lacey versus Charlotte, and then Charlotte getting one over those dastardly pair of Lacey Evans and her father, Rick. So yeah, it's now interesting in seeing Rhea Ripley eventually get knocked down initially, you know, but then eventually come out on top. Getting the win she should have got last year is something I want to see. Is that enough waffling, Jack? I do need to try and fill in some more.
No, you've done it. That's good. I thought of a slightly different pitch. It's gonna be my second pitch anyway. I've still got a bit of time to refine it in my head. But yeah, Andrew's done it. His first pitch, two yeses. It's a huge day.
Simple but effective, like a cup of tea.
He knows it.
I don't know that. Is it a Yorkshire thing?
Yeah, apparently. Ross has just made it up.
That's all right. It's tea in it, Yorkshire puddings.
Yes.
Stotty cakes, or a bread cake.
Clarence
has taken a tope suicida.
It's my go. Right. My first pick, we're going to go back to the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match, the one that Roman Reigns is involved in, or probably will be involved in after the match. So I think what should happen is that we get a really good... I want it to be a really good match. And we get down. Randy Orton, oh no, he's in the Raw one. Kevin Owens does something really scary and dangerous, but it knocks him out of the match. We get down to the final two of Daniel Bryan and Cesaro. And they go back and forth and back and forth. And they're so exhausted and they're so evenly matched that eventually Bryan and Cesaro pin each other, like both their shoulders are down, and they both go on to face Roman Reigns immediately afterwards. They put up a brave fight against the big dog, the tribal chief, but obviously he's fresh. He wins, but then both men have done well enough that Adam Pearce puts them both in the match at WrestleMania. You might be asking, what about Edge? Wasn't he going to face Roman Reigns? I'll get to that later on. But yeah, I reckon that's what we need. We need Daniel Bryan and Cesaro to both face Roman Reigns. He wins, but then we get a lovely triple threat at WrestleMania where, in my ideal world, Cesaro would become the champion. But that's my pitch there. It's a bit of a smarky dream. Mm-hmm. I dare you to say no.
Ross, you go first.
No, you go first, Andrew.
Oh, bless you. You're a good lad. I'd say yes to that. I would definitely say yes to that. My wanting would be for Cesaro to win, like you were saying. And I kind of would like just Cesaro to win on his own so he doesn't have to rely on anyone else. Let everyone see how good he really is. But that scenario, I think it'd be fantastic. Because also, I guess that kind of makes Roman seem like a bit more of a bad, strong boy, right? If it has to, because you've got Bryan and Cesaro who are kind of like, they're friends. They were like lifting each other up after the matches and stuff. So for them two to have to go after Roman and like take him out and stuff, I think that adds a bit more grizzliness, if that's a thing, to Roman Reigns. But yeah, no, that gets a big fat.
Do you know what image I've got in my mind for that match? That's Cesaro Bryan triple threat with Roman if it were to happen straight after the Chamber. Is, you know, when CM Punk cashed in on Jeff Hardy, but Jeff nearly pinned him, and Punk's face is like, he's trying not to lose it. He's like, oh, that was a bit, but all right. I want Roman to be like that and then destroy them and then go on to lose. But Ross, what do you reckon?
It's a resounding yes from me. That pitch just sounds a lot more appetizing to me than an Elimination Chamber match. It is booked at the moment. So hopefully the Elimination Chamber match goes 2 minutes. That's including entrances. And then that triple threat match lasts a whole hour. Mm. And then at WrestleMania, see Cesaro get the win over Bryan. And obviously Roman's pissed off because he didn't lose the match. There's your summer program right there.
Ooh.
Oh, do it.
That's a good one.
Fair enough. Ross, what's your second one?
As I mentioned earlier, I'm terrified that Kevin Owens will once again lose to Roman Reigns. So in the spirit of fearing the worst, and then those occasions where WWE, even though they know the reaction will be bad, I don't even think the reaction will be that bad. It's just me and my love for Kevin Owens, this. They'll deliver the bad. So I'm proposing that Kevin Owens wins the Elimination Chamber and then goes on to face Roman Reigns and he loses once again. That's my pitch right there. But this loss is one too many for Kevin Owens, who heads backstage and sees... I didn't know what to write down here because obviously we all like our things, all like different things in terms of WWE, but I want to see the most wholesome thing backstage you can possibly imagine. Just all the lovely things that WWE do in one setting. And Kevin Owens sees this. It's something we can't even imagine how nice it is. And Kevin Owens just beats it up. And I just want to see this universally loved thing beat up so bad that everybody watching cries. No matter how hard they are. And to Undertaker sat at home with all of his guns and knives and drugs. He's in tears watching this this universally loved thing just getting beaten to a pulp by Kevin Owens, who has lost to one too many matches and he's turned heel. Kevin Owens is back to being a heel, but it's like 2015 NXT Kevin Owens heel. Ooh. With the most disturbing drug inside of him, just turned up to 11. It's got Calpol pulsing through his veins. Because I'm sick of seeing Kevin Owens lose to Roman Reigns and then just come back because he's Mick Foley from 1999. I want to see someone else from Kevin Owens now. And a heel turn for Kevin Owens. I think it's about time. How long has it been now? Has it been like a couple of years at
it's
least?
It's been a while now.
It's been a while. Yeah, I think the last time he was a heel was when he was feuding with Brian and Shane, maybe?
Yes, that rings a bell. And obviously, he is effective as the sort of the everyday man who's doing the wrestling at the top level, and he's obviously very likable. But Kevin Owens is a heel. It trumps Kevin Owens a babyface, in my opinion. But that then sets us off to WrestleMania, where I just want to see Kevin Owens go at it with Big E, because those two men cutting promos against each other, Big E is the babyface, the locker room leader of SmackDown, Kevin Owens as the dastardly heel we all know he can be. I think that's a big WrestleMania match with a couple of big men slapping all kinds of meat. So there's my pitch there. Kevin Owens turns heel.
Nice. Andrew, should I just jump in for this one? Or do you
can just jump in. Go on, Jack. Right. Go on, get your send in. Get your send in.
I'm going to... Again, this is similar to one of mine, but don't worry, it's not the same. And I feel bad for saying no to your last one just because it clashed with my pitch. So what I will say instead is I'll... Because we've agreed that in this universe... We can say yes to two different contradictory pitches. That's allowed to happen.
You can have more than one want in this life.
And I heavily agree with your idea that Kevin Owens needs a bit of a reboot. Turning him heel would be the best thing. So I'm just going to give it a yes. I think it's a good idea. Andrew, what do you reckon?
The big fat yes from me. I like the idea of Kevin Owens going heel again. Him and Big E sounds like a phenomenal matchup. I'd definitely love to see that. Maybe even, we all know how good Kevin and Sammy are together as well. Maybe get Sammy in the mix as well. Go on, let's get some of that going again. I'd be down for that.
There's a lad who follows me on Twitter called Ellis. He runs a YouTube channel called Away Days, which at the moment he can't really go to away football games, but that's what he does. He goes to different football games. He started doing shirt collecting during the pandemic to just diversify his content a bit. Anyway, he's a bit of a wrestling fan. And once a year, he'll DM me after the Royal Rumble. The day after the Royal Rumble, I know the DM's coming. And it's just, why didn't Sami Zayn win this one? He just always wants Sami Zayn to win the Royal Rumble. And Sami never does. So, I mean, I don't know what's the matter with him. But I would like to see Sami Zayn be relevant once again. Mm. I'm kind of sick of this whole conspiracy videography thing. I don't know what that's all about as well. That's a bit strange.
I'm quite enjoying that because hopefully it'll build to an episode of SmackDown where he just sits us down and airs his documentary and then we'll get to see what he's been filming.
Yeah.
That would be brilliant. I'd love it if that happened, but I don't quite think it's going to. It seems like Vince uses Sami Zayn as the manifestation of like Democrats and lefties and stuff, and Vince hates that, so he makes Sami a whiny bad guy. I don't know. But yeah, two yeses there for you, Ross.
Get
Congratulations.
It.
Andrew, what's your second pitch?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
Oh, so I don't know if you guys will be into this or not, but and some of the segments on Raw have been hit and miss for me, but I want to see some spooky shenanigans in the Raw Men's Elimination Chamber match. So I planned all this out, by the way. Got notes here about this big old cinematic angle here. So let me talk you through it. Are you ready for this?
So ready.
Yeah.
You sat comfortably? Yeah. So, right. So obviously Orton is in the match. He's in a party, comes out, it's all going fine. But then all of a sudden, what's going on? Like, our screens, it's flashing. There's like a weird contorted, melted mask that keeps flashing on the screen. What's going on? Orton, he's shaking his head. He's like, what? Why am I just seeing this? Am I just seeing this? What's going on? And he's like, he's looking all uneasy and anxious and stuff. And then every time we like cut from maybe on the screen, one of like a melted mask or something, we cut back and then something in the arena has changed. Either like the lighting, maybe even we make it weird and like some of the wrestlers in the match have changed. And he's like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? He's struggling to perceive what's going on. And then boom, right? I wrote that down. Boom. Mm-hmm. The lights go out. It's just pitch black. And then you get like a shot from the top of the chamber looking down. And it's just like a spotlight. And there's nobody else left in the ring. But you've got Randy Orton there. And then we see a pentagram like we did on Monday Night Raw this past week. There's a pentagram. And then Alexa Bliss is sat in the middle of that in the ring. And it's all looking weird. Like Orton's all like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? He's like frozen with fear and stuff. And then fog starts coming in. Some mist starts coming in through the chamber. It's getting all spooky. And then Alexa Bliss says something that's probably not, you know, definitely not cheesy. And she's like, ho, 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 tee, hee, hee.
The past Santa is... Claus.
Yeah. The past always catches up with you, Mr. Orton. And he's like, what's going on? And then we pan up. And then we see all these pods that were empty before have got people from... And this is a part I was like, how do I book this bit, right? And I was like, do we have people from Raw Legends Night that Orton was like mean to and then nothing ever came from it? Or do we have like some sort of new fiend-like cult thing and he's gone and got Bo Dallas or Aleister Black or he's like gathered all these people? Anyway, I digress. These people come out, they start beating up on Orton and we get a shot where it's like Orton's face looking down at the mat. So like the camera's looking up at his face. He's getting beaten down by these people. He bursts out. And then, oh, but who's there? It's the Fiend. He's just looking straight at him. Ross is into this. I can tell by his face. The Fiend's just looking straight at him. They just like have a stare off for a bit. And then, bah, straight in there, mandible claw. He's got him. He's got him down. All the lights and stuff are flashing, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, right, we cut back and it's just Randy Orton lying on the mat. And it's like the Elimination Chamber match has just carried on. Like, this has all just been a part of an elaborate thing in Randy Orton's head. He's just led on the mat. The match is still going on. People like start looking around. They see Randy Orton on the floor. They get down. 1, 2, 3. He gets pinned. He is out of there. Oh, the spooky shenanigans. And that's like the return of the Fiend, setting up for probably WrestleMania down the line. That is the spooky shenanigans that I'd quite like to see happen.
Yeah. I like it. It's a no from me, Andrew. I'm giving you a no.
What?
Because we all know there's going to be something spooky to eliminate Orton from the Elimination Chamber, probably.
Mm.
And my only hope for that is that it interferes minimally with the overall match. And what you've suggested actually takes over the match quite a lot.
Just a little bit.
Another thing as well, are we meant to feel sympathy for Randy Orton? That's not my problem with your pitch specifically, but just this whole feud. Is that Orton's a heel? Are we cheering the Fiend? Fiend's also a heel.
Fiend's a babyface.
Fiend's a babyface, right, okay.
I don't know if he actually is, but in WWE's eyes, the Fiend's a babyface for sure.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'm still going to give it a no. I'm so sorry. I feel like I've stepped on a kitten. Awful. Ross, what are you going to do?
It's been a resounding no in my head. As soon as I heard spooky shenanigans, and then that was followed up by a Randy Orton match getting interfered by Alexa Bliss. Because how many times, Andrew, do we need to see this happen? How many times, young man?
Well, the thing is, right? Yeah, I do get it. I do get it because it's happened so many times and it doesn't feel legitimate. But I think if you put some sort of actual cinematic thing in there, it makes it a little tiny bit better. Maybe.
I honestly feel I've watched at least 25 episodes of Raw where the same thing has happened with Alexa Bliss. So no matter how many bells and whistles and spooky dead bodies you put on it, I'm not interested. It's a no from me.
What do we think is actually going to happen, just very briefly? Do we think the lights will go down, she'll be in the pod?
He'll exactly what Andrew said, but without the people in the pods, I think that's what's going to happen, isn't it? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint.
Oh, no, don't worry. Everyone has a howler from time to time. Ross, no, it's me. It's bloody me. Sorry. Well, this is my replacement one because my initial pitch for this match was very similar to Andrew's pitch with Rhea Ripley. So instead, as we know, Lacey Evans is pregnant. She's not going to be challenging for the Raw Women's title. And remember, this isn't grounded in reality. We don't need to abide by what's actually going on in the real world. I want Asuka's surprise mystery replacement opponent to be Kairi Sane. Oh. And I want Kairi Sane to beat Asuka, and then she can finally get a pirate ship WrestleMania entrance. Because it's happening in that stadium, I believe. It's happening in that Tampa Bay Buccaneers stadium. Maybe Tom Brady's with her, because he's just won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who knows? But generally, I want her as a pirate in that arena, and I want her to defend the Raw Women's Championship against... It's probably going to be Charlotte. I'll have it be Charlotte if that's what people want, as long as Kairi Sane wins. I miss Kairi Sane. Don't really know what happened to her. She seemed to be getting injured by different members of the women's roster, left, right, and centre. I felt really sorry for her. And I think she deserves this. And I think that she was a bit of a wasted talent on the main roster, as many former NXT greats are. So that's my pitch there.
I like it. I'm giving it a big thumbs up. Much all the things you just said? Like, I miss her. It was weird how she sort of just left, and then people were just chucking her about and injuring her and stuff. And what a feel good moment that would be, her just coming out with the championship on that pirate ship
with Paul Burchill.
Yep. It'd be amazing. Yeah. It'd be so good. That gets a big fat thumbs up from me.
Thank you.
Feel like poo. I just want Kairi back.
We're all just missing Kairi.
it's a resounding yes for me. It's down to two people, isn't it? Like, technically one person now for a pirate ship shenanigans spot at WrestleMania. It's Kairi Sane or Kevin Owens, isn't it? I can't think of anyone else who might do something.
Yeah.
So yeah, get Kairi back, because that's who should be doing the pirate ship shenanigans.
The Fiend. Maybe the Fiend, like a dark ghost pirate ship.
Puts a hat on. Gets a hook. He's been burnt so much that his hand melted, and now he's got a hook.
I think he could pull off, what's he called in the second Pirates of the Caribbean? It's Davy Jones. I think he could pull off Davy Jones, get some tentacles going instead of the beard. Yeah.
Tap into the strange anime market then, though. That's a bit...
Yeah, I don't want to be skirting that territory.
What's strange about that?
I think Andrew's referring to tentacle porn.
Oh, no. I've heard about this phenomenon. Have you seen it, Andrew, or you just heard about it?
I've heard about it. Clarence might know a bit more if you ask him kindly.
And check out our sister channel, Tentacle Jump, coming soon, where it specializes all on the genre of tentacle porn. But thank you guys for those two. Wait, Ross, did you give it a yes as well?
I did, yeah, fully
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Thanks. Now it's time for your third pitch.
So at the time of us sitting down here to shoot this video, Seth Rollins is doing absolutely diddly squat at Elimination Chamber 2021. So basically, because nobody took him up in his offer to embrace the vision, whatever his new catchphrase is these days.
Leader.
Basically, he comes out. Panama hat is playing over the Tron. No, it's not. he does that again. He comes out in the middle of the ring, and because nobody is around the ring this time, he's just out there. He's going madder and madder and madder. He's like, where is everybody? Why doesn't one want to embrace the vision? All of that malarkey. Eventually, Aleister Black slowly saunters out wearing those sleek leather, pleather, whatever material it was that he had on last week on SmackDown. A very svelte suit it was. Made a lot of squeaks. Rollins laughs. Him and Aleister Black, they head to the back. They're walking through the backstage area and they see... And now this is weird because I need to put a disclaimer. All of my pitches are something I discussed that came out of my mouth on Stephen Larson's Matt Chat, which at the time of us sitting here hasn't been published. But I'm just going to use them here because I think they're all good ideas. And it's timely as well because Bo Dallas is in the news this week, isn't he? Andrew, who edits the news.
Yeah. Apparently, he's been seen at SmackDown tapings. He's been in the back somewhere around catering. He's just been there. But apparently, morale has been good since they've seen our big old Bo Dallas there. So
obviously, so because Bo Dallas is fantastic.
Yeah. Got a
just imagine him walking backstage and just like a group of superstars going like, oh, the saviors come back. And everyone loses it. Anyway, it's weird that that came in the news because I was on the Matt Chat last Friday before that news was a thing. So me pitch here has got Bo Dallas in it, but it's got nothing to do with the news. Bo Dallas is in the corridor where Seth Rollins and Aleister Black are walking down. He's looking sad, but he's also looking lovable because we all know Bo Dallas can do that very, very well. Aleister Black does some naughty things to Bo Dallas and orders Bo Dallas to go with them, even though Bo Dallas doesn't want to go with them. This, and of course, this is just down to my love of NXT Bo Dallas. I'm sure we all know how fantastic that was back in the day. And the fact that it hasn't been really utilized properly on the main roster. I know we had the Bo Leave stuff back in 2015, but we need to give Bo a fair crack at the whip. So this is the sort of the start of that, the genesis of that. And I want a trio to be formed of Seth Rollins in the Messiah, Friday Night Friar, whatever the gimmick is he has these days, with the two angels, the proverbial angels on his shoulder, the naughty angel, the being Aleister Black, who was just this dark and disturbing killer who brings out the worst in Seth Rollins, and the nice angel being Bo Dallas. And I think the camaraderie and the chemistry between those three is money. All of the money. All of that their money. So that's basically my pitch there.
I was going to initially give this a no because I really feel always like Aleister Black was wasted as a singles. Like they never really gave him the singles push that he deserved. But I'm going to give it a yes because of one thought I've just had, which is that Seth Rollins was at his best for me in 2015 when the New Day were heels as well and they would annoy him backstage trying to be his friend and he'd be like, oh my God, go away. Shades of like Triple H brushing off Edge and Christian back in 2000. So it's a yes from me, hoping we get more of that side of Rollins and hopefully it would eventually lead further down the line to Aleister Black presumably betraying Seth and then ascending. So I'm going to give it a yes. Andrew, what do you reckon?
Yeah, big yes. Anything to get Aleister Black and Bo Dallas as well back on screen. Because like you said, his NXT stuff is phenomenal. Obviously, Aleister Black's NXT stuff is phenomenal as well. And like it was all just cut short. He had a good feud with, it was Buddy Murphy, right?
Yep.
Aleister Black, yeah, they had a phenomenal feud together. And like it's just such a shame that he's such a good character as well. He's such a good character. And if you get him in the mix with Seth Rollins, like, they do amazing things together. And like Jack was saying too, eventually down the road, go for like a feud there between the two. And I would be all down for that. So yeah, you get a third big fat thumbs up from me, Ross.
I've just realised the potential issue with this is the fact that Rollins was part of trying to blind Aleister Black last year, I think, was he?
Oh, so he was.
Aleister Black is desperate, right? I'm looking at you, everybody watching this video. This pitch makes sense because Aleister Black is desperate to be on TV. Yeah. And I would also like to apologise to everybody who watches that Matt Chat episode whenever it gets published, because that's basically all I say on there, my free pitches today.
Oh, good. Now, in fairness, we should give a huge shout-out. Me and Ross and Sam were fortunate enough to meet Stephen Larson in Las Vegas, and they were just the best. They were lovely, lovely gents.
Another spoiler from that, they were like, Ross, where can we find you and stuff? I was like, you can find me on Cultaholic Wrestling, which is basically Stephen Larson, but worse. I don't know if you had that feeling when we're on that stage with them, but those two are just full-on like professional broadcasters, essentially.
Yeah.
And where they're umming and ahhing, being very much amateurs.
Without trying to sound arrogant, I thought I'd really improved as a presenter since leaving What Culture in the past few years. And then we met Stephen Larson and I thought, I'm not a proper presenter at all. This is a joke. That's real charisma from those two.
Yeah.
They could be on TV. Mm. Andrew, is it time for your final pitch? I think it is.
Yeah. Again, you'll have to bear with me with this one, because I built this one all around a pun I thought about in the shower, right?
Good. Well, it's better than like 50% of the pitches on here anyway, so
I don't know about that, but okay. Right. So I'll again, we'll get into the setup. So Kofi's backstage, he's having a pre-chamber interview, he's being asked about what another run with the WWE Championship would mean to him, and then obviously you get Boom Boom Pow, those chicks go jacking his style, it's only retribution, taking him out, pow.
I thought Black Eyed Peas were coming out.
Fergie comes out. No, but Retribution come out, beat on Kofi, and obviously it's Ali there. He's come to claim what was rightfully his in 2019. He wants his spot in the Elimination Chamber. So there he goes. That's what we think is going to happen. So the match starts, people are coming out, Ali comes out, and then it's only big old Daddy Addy Pierce. He's on the ramp, he comes out. Wait a minute, Ali. Let me tell you something. Didn't I say on Raw? It's only former WWE champions that are allowed in this match. And he's like, rules and that. I don't follow rules, pal. But Adam Pearce goes, well, since you were very unfair, you were very, very naughty, I'm going to allow the free bird rule. Under the free bird rule, here is your new Elimination Chamber entrant. What is this? Whoa, it's trombone time. Trombones are coming out. Using the free bird rule that we see the New Day use quite a bit. I know it's for the tag team titles, but bear with me. It's only Xavier Woods. He comes out, he smashes Ali in the face, and he runs into the Elimination Chamber, and he is our new entrant. And basically, instead of Kofi Mania 2, and this is what the pun was based off, right? We're not getting Kofi Mania 2 at the moment. We're getting, it's Woodstock, everybody. It's Woodstock. And honestly, Xavier goes on a massive tear. I don't think he wins the match, but he goes on a massive tear. He just, he looks amazing. He looks strong. He kind of just like mirroring what happened in 2019 with Kofi in the in the chamber, because I think he's such a phenomenal wrestler, and I genuinely think it'd be nice to see him have a little singles push as well, and see him get maybe the United States Championship somewhere down the line. But yeah, no, I just really, really, really like to see that, and I think it'd be a nice surprise, like a little swerve of what we think might be happening in this match, of Kofi getting taken out and then Ali trying to get himself in there somehow. I just quite like that. I think that would be nice to see.
I was on board until Ali got replaced by Xavier Woods. Because I'm going to give you a no, unfortunately, but I was going to give it a yes before, because I really want to see that happen. And I think it actually might happen that Ali might attack Kofi beforehand and jump in the chamber. Mm. But sorry, Andrew.
Oh, no, that's fair enough. Sorry, that is fair enough.
It was better than your last pitch, though.
Thanks.
Ross.
You've literally stolen the words out of my mouth, Jack. I'm going to have to agree with Jack. I'm on the Ali train, me. Woo-woo and all that malarkey. I'm more invested in Ali, and I want to see him do well more than I am with Xavier Woods. That's what it comes down to, basically. So take that one, Andrew, with your Woodstock puns.
That's fair enough. No, also, it would be nice to see Ali get what he should have had in 2019. That would be nice to see. But no, there you go. That was just from a pun off the top of my head. Woodstock, baby. We're going there. We're probably not, but still.
Thinking about Woodstock in the shower, right? Bit suspect, don't you think?
I don't know, Ross.
I'll do my third pitch now. Mine is, well, I was a bit worried when you started talking about that because it was similar to my third one, but it veered off, so it's all right. Originally, mine was also going to be based on a pun. All I could think of, and it's not even a good pun, was Elimination Beyblade. Now, I've decided not to do that because it's crap, obviously.
Someone sent us that clip from the podcast like ages ago on Twitter? It was something I said about Ali calling the blade, like because boyfriend and girlfriend and that. Would she call him Beyblade?
Oh.
That's a good pun as well, just to throw that pun in the mix.
Well, beyond the name of it, I couldn't think of what it would actually be, so I could just see myself pitching to the pair of you, just Drew and Seamus and the lads all just let it rip and just like, it would just be awful. So instead, I've gone for also Kofi getting jumped before the match and replaced. During his entrance, I think he gets attacked. Now, this has to go on last for it to work. Earlier in the night, I mentioned in this pitches video that earlier in the night, Kevin Owens does something crazy and gets eliminated and hurt in the Elimination Chamber. Kevin Owens is a huge fan of Edge. He loves Edge. He's Canadian as well. He's taken inspiration from the Ultimate Opportunist. What he's done is he's attacked Kofi during his entrance, locked himself in the pod, and that's what happens. Now, I agree, because when Ross was talking earlier, I fully agree with it's time for a Kevin Owens heel turn, and I think this is the way to do it. Owens then enters the match, and I can't decide what I want to happen from here. I feel like Drew deserves to defend the title at WrestleMania, but at the same time, I really like the idea of Owens versus Edge more than Edge versus Roman or Drew. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to say Owens wins the Elimination Chamber. Edge is mortified and so sad that he's inspired such villainy, and he has to face him at WrestleMania, and Kevin Owens wins and beats him. I know, that's my pick. I don't know what the obvious downfall here is, what becomes of Drew and Sheamus and that whole thing. I don't know. But yeah.
If we take logic out of it though, I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You
can give it a no if you want, Andrew.
I don't
want
to give it a no because I think it's a cool idea. If we take logic out of it, but I'm going to say, Jack, it doesn't matter. It's yes across the board. I'm going for it.
I'm disappointed.
What are you disappointed for?
Where is your backbone, Andrew? Get some integrity for goodness sake.
I'm like Ric Flair, and you're like Shawn Michaels, and I'm like, finish me off. Go on.
No, but...
He can't
decide.
He physically can't bring himself to say
I can't decide. I don't have a coin either.
He's just said there, Ross. It makes no sense, but it's a yes from me.
I know. It's conflicting messages, Andrew.
Come on. I'm sorry. All right, then. I'm going to say no, then. Just because of the logic thing. However, I do like the idea of Edge and Kevin Owens. I think that's a good story, and I think story.
Maybe that doesn't need the belt. Maybe Owens doesn't need to win the match. Maybe I should have gone for that, but I haven't. Mm. So fair enough.
Ross.
I'm going to say no, Jack, because I would rather see Edge versus Roman at WrestleMania then Beyblades inside the Elimination Chamber, because as we all know, my brother had all of the Beyblades.
Ooh.
Easy for me to say. He had all of them, and he used to put his knuckles down, or put my knuckles down and fire them off, and then we'd prove who's harder. So you could do that, but we're wrestlers. Imagine the bloodshed off the knuckles in that game. So yeah, I'd rather see the Beyblades.
What a game. Oh, fantastic. Did anyone used to do that at school with coins, where you and your mates would like fire the coin across the table?
Metal rulers. You used to do it with the metal rulers. Oh, I was hard, mate.
You kinky bastard.
I was hard back in there.
Right. There we go then. Thanks very much, Ross, and Andrew as well, on his debut, for this pitches video. And let us know, everybody, what your pitches are in the comments section down below. Thanks very much for watching. Ross, have you got anything to say? Any social media activity? Any plugs?
No, it will just be the normal coverage from us in terms of Elimination Chamber. Live stream with Adam Pacitti will start when the pay-per-view starts, because that's how live streams work. It's a live watch-along, and it happens at the same time as the pay-per-view does. It's on the YouTube channel. You know how it works by now. I'll be doing WTF on Monday. Tom will be doing graded and Jack will be doing what and that. I don't know what the plans are.
That's what the plans are, either. We'll find out. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll do some videos on Elimination Chamber. That's what I'm basically saying.
And Andrew, have you got anything you want to mention?
No, not really. Thank you for having me. Twitch.tv/cultaholic on Monday Funday. We just build Lego and play games and stuff. But no, thank you very, very much for having me on this. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
Cheers, Andrew. And thanks, everybody, once again for watching. Stay safe out there. Stay positive, and we'll see you very soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.